is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Clear Directions with Monica Becker. Monica is the founder of Clear Directions Coaching, a leadership coach and Dalai Lama Method facilitator here to introduce you to diverse guests offering education, insights, perspectives, and practical tools intended to assist leaders in resolving their internal and external struggles. Get ready for the next engaging and insightful conversation. Here's Monica now.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm excited to be on air with you again. Thank you for joining me today. It's Monica here, Monica Becker of Clear Directions Coaching, and I'm joining you once again from beautiful North Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada. As you may know by now, my intention for this show is to support you in finding your clear direction. My guests and I, we are sharing experiences and insights and very practical down-to-earth tools with you, so that you may use them to get to know yourself better and carve out your unique path in life. My show has the overarching topic of leadership. And in every show, my guests and I are looking at leadership from a different angle. And today is no different. My guest on today's show is JJ Stenhouse from Scotland. And together with her and I, we will explore the topic how to listen to your inner intelligence and allow it to lead you. Because listening to our inner intelligence is a big part of leadership, including self-leadership. So when we learn to listen and follow our own inner guidance and no longer simply automatically follow the external voices and expectations, that's when we actually can step into full responsibility and full leadership of our own lives. And that's what self-leadership ultimately means. So, based on that, basically our topic for today will introduce you to ways on how to expand your own leadership and step into greater power with who you are and how you show up in the world. So today, then, I'm really excited to welcome my special guest to the show today. Her name is JJ Stenhouse, and she's calling in all the way from the UK. It sounds, as though her line just dropped, but it sounds as though she is back online now, which is awesome. So let me quickly introduce JJ to you and tell you a little bit more about her background. So JJ Stenhouse is also known as the Practical Alchemist. She is an empowerment and transformation coach, a medical intuitive, a speaker, and a writer. She helps people on the journey of self-development who have tried it all and still haven't found that pot of gold. JJ has her own internet radio show called Alchemy 101 on UK Health Radio, and is also a Global Business Connector Scotland for the Women Speakers Association. JJ is a former print, TV, and radio journalist who does regular voice-over work and offers public relations services, including speaker coaching, within the well-being sector. She has coached extensively in the corporate sector and has advanced qualifications and training in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, as well as group dynamics and nonverbal communications. Well, welcome to the show, JJ. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm excited to have you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. It's fantastic. Yeah. And not only the UK, I have to say Scotland, you know, because the UK is one thing, but I am in bonny Scotland. So
there you go. Okay. Thank you for making that clear. That's awesome. I'm glad you were able to come back online. So that's awesome. Let's trust that the line will not drop again.
No, exactly. It won't.
Yeah.
It won't.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
It's great to be with you.
Good. Perfect. So, JJ, when we discussed the topic of our show today a month or 6 weeks ago, you actually brought up the idea to talk about how to listen to our inner intelligence and allow it to lead us. So why do you think this topic is important to our audience in the framework of leadership?
Well, it's self-leadership, isn't it? It's self-leadership.
Yes.
Really, all leadership is self-leadership in a way. And we can't lead ourselves. We cannot be our own person unless we listen to ourselves. That's, you know, the first lesson, I think, of self-leadership. And so it's really important to get back in touch with who we are. And by that, I don't just mean, you know, whether we're fun or studious or, you know, or whether we're destined for great things. No, I mean who we really are, part of nature and really very powerful. And reconnecting to that, reconnecting to our true, real selves. Because I think in today's world, well, over many, many years, probably hundreds of years now, what's been happening gradually is that we've been removing ourselves, or we have been removed away from our natural selves and boxed into something which isn't entirely, shall we say, helpful or useful always, and constrains us and stops us from actually being our powerful, real, authentic selves.
Right, right. So what is your, so if I hear you correctly, then to just paraphrase it, your position is, and I totally agree, by the way, that listening, that tuning in to our own nature and connecting with that is helping us to basically find our way back to our own true nature and who we really are and bring forth our innate power that we all possess. Can contribute that energy and that power and that true, authentic voice to the world. Did I capture that correctly?
Yeah, you did. And there is another side to that as well. So one side is getting into ourselves and reconnecting with ourselves. Excuse me. Reconnecting with our bodies and reconnecting with that spark within us, that golden spark that we all have within us. The other side of that is understanding and recognizing that we are part of nature, and nature is part of us. We are nature. And this is the other disconnect that's crept in over the probably millennia, where humans see ourselves, we see ourselves as non-natural. We don't see ourselves as part of the natural world, the natural way of things. We see ourselves as apart. And what's happening right now, actually, is that we are very quickly moving back into that place where we recognize that we are nature and nature is us. And there's a lot going on right now on the planet, I think, which is almost forcing us back into that position where we have to recognize nature, the way of nature. And by the way, that is partly why I talk about alchemy. The old alchemists were supposedly making gold out of base metal. In fact, what I've read, and I've researched this a lot of them were doing was trying to speed up nature, trying to speed up the natural process whereby a metal like gold was made. So they were working with nature, following natural law, but trying to speed it up a bit to find that gold. So it's a lovely metaphor, really. So we get back into nature, we get back to that connection to nature, we work with nature, in alignment with nature, under natural law, then that gold is there to be found.
Right. Well, that really is a beautiful metaphor, and it reminds me of that image that I've seen of a diamond that basically we all carry in our center, but it has kind of like been covered up by the by the doubts, the negative self-talk, the expectations, the shoulds and the shouldn'ts from society, so that it doesn't really get to sparkle, right? Your metaphor of the gold that we all carry inside of us reminds me of that diamond that we all have, right? And that is wants to be rediscovered again. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was your own story or experience around listening to your inner self? How did you get into that? Like, was it something that you were naturally doing anyway, or did you have your own kind of journey of finding your way back to that?
That's probably a natural thing for me. And I say probably because I have done a lot of things over the years. You know, there's hardly a process or a program that I haven't done or, you know, learned or learned, you know, gone on to some course or whatever. And so I've done a lot of exploration. But in the end, I always came back to the same realization that it's kind of what you do anyway, right? Mm-hmm. It's what I was doing anyway. And I learned at a very young age that I was able to tune in to energies and help heal. I used to work with my pets when I was a small child. And I used to help them if they'd hurt themselves, you know, I would help them heal. And then I realized that I could do it with people, and I can also do it myself. So there was always that element of being tuned in and always that element of kind of tuning into my body. And so I think it's something that was innate that I never really had to work too hard to find. Yes, there have been layers to get, you know, to shed. Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so all these programs that I've experienced over the years, and the talks and the lectures and the compilations of CDs as they used to be, all of that obviously had some effect. But I think that it was really just enabling me to shed what needed to be shed so that I could get down to the nitty-gritty and actually be myself. Because despite that innate connection that I had with the energetic, there were still layers and layers and layers of other people's stuff and thoughts and impositions that had to be got rid of.
I understand. Well, you're kind of like in a lucky position then, right? That you have that connection innately. When I look at my own life, like yes, I do sense that I have that as well. But for me, it's not as obvious, and I had to and still have to remove many more layers in order to get to a deeper connection with that inner voice myself. So I consider you lucky, and I'm a little jealous, but that's okay.
No, don't be jealous. Look, I'm not sure that we ever get to the point where we completely, I don't know, I mean, well, I don't think anybody has on this earth got to the point where they have completely shared everything. I think we turn into something else if we have done that, right? I think we probably do what used to be referred to as transcension. Maybe we transcend when we've let go of everything and we become much lighter, so light that, you know, we are no longer in this physical form. But you know, there's always lots to let go of. And I find that I'm in a constant process of it, constant process of letting go and redefining and noticing change within me.
Right. Yeah, and you're bringing up a good word, the word of process, right? And that's what I've come to appreciate for myself, is to accept and embrace the process of me becoming more of me, right? Becoming more authentic over time and just accepting my journey for what it is, which is a journey back to my true self, right? And the benefit of that is can relate to people that are more driven by their logical mind rather than their intuitive mind. And so I'm probably able to relate better to them and help them along the journey. And that brings me to my next question. So what are your, like, how can we actually learn to pay attention and to listen to that inner voice? Like, from your own perspective, how can we do that?
Well, it's actually very easy and very difficult at the same time for a lot of people. It's a very simple thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple process, but some people make so much of it, and they find it so hard. But really, I would two things. I would invite everybody right now to just start paying attention to your body. Start paying attention to what it feels like to be you. Because I think so few people these days actually own, in a way, their own bodies and listen
to
their own bodies. What I mean by that is so many of us don't take responsibility for our own bodies. We hive off that responsibility to a doctor or to a medic or to somebody else or a practitioner of some kind. Mm-hmm. Rather than just taking some time, getting to know your own body, listening to your own body, and then you know what you need, and having the courage to say, no, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do for me, and I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that works in terms of health, as far as I'm concerned. I will always pay attention to my body. Where are any aches and pains? What do I need to do about that? What do I need to take? The answer always comes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not deferring to another power, an external power. I think it's very important to reclaim ourselves and reclaim our bodies. So I really do invite people to just pay attention to this body that each of us is inhabiting, and notice how that feels. What does that feel to be you? Where do you have any tense feelings, or where is it feeling a bit odd, or do you have a pain somewhere, or just pay attention to that. No judgment. Don't start worrying. Just pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do find something, just note it and just know that if you wanted to, the answer of how you might deal with that, or if there is anything to be done to sort that density or pain or anything out, the answer will come to you, and you can act on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your knowledge, your innate wisdom, that's coming to the fore, your self-leadership. So that's one thing, and I'd be interested to know how people get on with that and what they feel. I really do think that people have lost the art of getting in touch with their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So I do invite everybody to do this on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part of that is to just sit in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Sit in silence and see what comes up.
Right. Yeah, and I can definitely vouch for that is equally as important as tuning into your body. Right.
Yeah.
So if I may just summarize the two major points for our audience right now, the first thing of the practical steps that you suggest is to take a moment with the intention to actually tune into your body and observe any kind of areas of tension, of tingling, of pain, whatever there may be, anything that stands out, and just observe it without any kind of judgment. And then to sit still and maybe ponder the question in the back of your mind, so what does this want to tell me? What does it want me to do? And just sit in silence so that the answer can emerge from your body.
Yes.
Right? And
absolutely.
And that is how you get into touch with the answer that comes from your body and that is rooted in what it is that your body currently needs.
Yeah. And if nothing comes to start off with, that's fine, because mm-hmm. you're not used to doing it. But once you get into the habit of doing it, you will mm-hmm. find that more and more you're able to go through life much more empowered, in a much more empowered way, because mm-hmm. you're taking the lead. You are leading yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And not.
Go ahead. Yeah, I have a subsequent question to that, and that's something that happens to me a lot. Maybe not quite as much anymore as it used to, but it still does happen. So, for example, I've done this tuning into my body, and I'm sitting still asking, okay, so what does this want to me to know? What happens is that almost instantaneously, my mind starts to kick in again. Like my logical mm-hmm. mind, depending on the day, of course. Like some days are better where it's easier for me to hold that silence. And in other days, it's just immediately that my logical mind comes in and it has its own opinion as it wants to
yeah.
chime in. So how do you differentiate between what is truly your intuitive voice and that logical voice that just wants to break through the silence because it can't stand the silence?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, isn't it? Well, it's all down to the feeling you get when mm-hmm. that voice comes in. Does it feel good or is it making you feel uncomfortable?
Mm.
And again, you know, initially that might be a tricky one to differentiate.
Yeah.
But given practice and time, you will notice that logical voice, which isn't you, by the way, it's something else entirely. This is the point.
Mm-hmm.
That voice that comes in, you will notice that you don't feel as good when you listen to that voice as you feel when you listen to your own self. So what do I mean by that? Well, you might pay attention to that other voice that's popped in, unheralded and unwanted, and you might do what that voice has said and it won't feel good. But within time, you'll notice that feeling before you even take the action. You'll note how it feels before you take the action. When something comes into your mind that is from you, and it may not even be in any kind of verbal form, it might just even be
mm-hmm.
a feeling, you'll know that it's you and you'll know that it's right because you get that good feeling, which I find
mm-hmm.
hard to describe, but I'm
yeah.
sure that, you know, I'm sure you felt it at some stage. And that's
oh,
when
yeah,
you know
yeah,
that,
for sure.
that,
yeah.
that it's you.
Yeah, and that,
yeah.
Sorry. Yes, and I just wanted to actually ask you, what does that good mean, right? Like feeling good, but how do you distinguish that, right? And I understand it's hard to really put it into words until you've sensed
it
yourself.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
It is, but let me try and explain it this way. The voice that is not you, that is coming
mm-hmm.
into your head, the feeling with that is heavier. There's a kind
mm-hmm.
of heavy quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
When it's you and it's your voice, there is this feeling of absolute clarity, fresh air quality almost, light as a feather quality,
mm-hmm.
beautiful, unimpeded quality. There's no resistance quality.
Mm.
So
right.
if you can imagine how all those things feel together, that's the kind of feeling that I get. And
mm-hmm.
And it really is about getting to that point of no resistance. It's about getting to that point where you are doing what you are innately here to do
mm-hmm.
without any resistance, without any of the stuff that we've all been shedding for years and years and years.
Right.
It's allowing that to come through.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's put as well, that this no resistance, right? This feeling of no resistance, because it just feels so right and it feels so true and so solid that we don't need to defend it. Like it's like it's just who we are. It's just like this is it. Like it boils down to, okay, well, this is it. I don't need to defend it because I just know this is true. And to actually add to what you just said, what I tuned into in my own memory is that when I get an answer that feels right, there's also a sense of calmness around it.
Yeah.
Versus a sense of being driven and fretting when the answer comes from the logical mind. Right? There's kind of like the sense of unhealthy nervousness that sometimes comes. Whereas when I'm really tuned into my truth and what feels right and good for me in the moment, there is just this calm knowingness. Is that what you experience as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You just know. You get to know that this is you, this is right, this is... But here's the thing. I don't know if you've noticed this as well, Monica. How many of us for years hear that voice or recognize that voice, if you want to call it a voice, and yet we still don't follow it?
Yeah.
We still don't follow it. So self-leadership, it needs courage. You need to have that courage to say, no, this is me. This is me. That person over there with all these constrictions and, things that we've been socialized to do, believe, say, do, that's not me. This is me. And have that bravery to go out and say, right, here I am. This is the authentic me. This is what I do. How many of us have that courage? And that's what we've got to foster.
Right. And I think that what you're just speaking to is actually, yes, it does take that first moment of pushing ourselves across that threshold that to that date or to that time we haven't dared to cross, like whatever held us back from actually owning and standing, embracing our own uniqueness and our own voice. So it takes that moment of bravery to actually step across. And then I find once that I do that, the reward is so much bigger, right? Because there's just a sense of relief that finally I've taken a stand for who I am and spoken my truth. So the reward for anybody that might be listening and struggling with that, like the reward that you feel, like from my own experience, I can only speak from my own experience, but the reward that I felt for having had that courage was so tremendous that now it becomes slightly easier, right, to do that and to just say what I have to say in those moments when otherwise I might have just withdrawn and withheld my true voice, right? So there is, I can totally vouch for, that's my experience too. It does take that courage and it becomes easier over time and the reward is so amazing.
You're absolutely right.
Something to add to that?
No. I mean, that's absolutely right. That's exactly the how we feel, and that's what we're aiming for. And then, what also helps us get to this place, because one of the things about self-leadership as well is, and that connection to nature. We remember I said that we are nature. Nature is us. And how we've almost cut ourselves off, right? Humans see ourselves as other to nature. We aren't. We are nature. And so what I always encourage people to do and what helps people get into their real, their authentic self and uncover that gold is to get out into nature as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
As much as possible. And even if it's just sitting in a wooded area or a park, I mean, I know a lot of people live in cities.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky where I am. I don't live in a city. I live with fields around the village. I live by the sea. But a lot of people live in cities. But hopefully you have a park or some area. And you can just go into that park, that beautiful green area with hopefully some trees, bushes, and just sit in silence and just feel into what's around you. You'd be amazed. You'll be amazed. You know, they used to laugh at Prince Charles here in the UK because he used to talk to plants. Well, they talk to you as well. Not just us talking to them. They talk to us. And you'd be amazed what they have to say as well. Tree hugging. Do you remember, you know, people get laughed at for hugging trees. Oh, no.
Yep,
trees
I've
really
been laughed
respond
at
to that.
For that many times. Yes, totally.
But again, you know, it's that connection and that getting to understand that you are a being that's part of the natural way of things. You have your own authentic self and your own program to that tells you what you're here to do. You and only you. Your unique self. Not what somebody else has told you you should be doing because that's what people do. No, what you uniquely are here to do. And so those three things, or two or three things, getting into your body, sitting in silence and just paying attention to what comes up, differentiating, and being out in nature. And if possible, these days, very important, swim in water. Water is so important for all of us.
Why is that?
Water is carrying all the information of the planet, and it's so important. It's once we submerge ourselves in water, it really helps us get onto that wavelength, onto that resonance that will help us go through the next few years, I would say, on this planet, because the energetic the energy of the planet is actually escalating. I mean, all sorts of changes are happening. And the water is carrying a lot of that vibration. It's carrying a lot of that information. And it really helps to bathe in water, natural water, flowing water, rivers, lakes, or in my case, the sea. And really feel, connect with nature through the water. It's so fantastic, I can't tell you. I swim every morning. You know, and it's wonderful. And it does help that sometimes...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it does help when you see dolphins playing and seals playing and, you know, all the wildlife. But it's the water itself. It's so embracing. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to be that close to nature.
Yeah, for sure. So is there any practical way, like, and I know nothing really can replace that swim in a free body of water, but is there any way that you can think people can simulate that in their shower or the bathtub if they're lucky enough to have one, like to actually get to kind of like take advantage of that, like, information and the benefits that water brings to us?
Yeah, well, all water will have information. The more natural the water, the better, obviously. The water that comes into our bathrooms is not probably the purest, shall we say. But a lot of people will have a salt bath, for instance, and just relax in a salt bath. And it's not the same, but it does help. I always used to say that my best ideas came to me in the bath. And, you know, people laughed. However, think about it. Think about it. You're in a bath, you're relaxing, you're letting your mind go blank, you're in water, and you're in touch with your true self. And ideas bubble up. Same with the shower. I know a lot of people who say, well, their best ideas come to them in the shower. And again, but you see, the other thing about that is that I would always recommend to people that if you're having a bath or a shower, always use absolutely as natural as possible products in your toilet, you know, your toiletries. Make sure that they're organic, as natural as possible. Do not use products that are full of all kinds of chemicals. Because we do need to just be kinder to ourselves and the planet. It's far better for our health if we just stick as close to nature as possible.
Yeah, I agree. That makes total sense, for sure.
Yeah.
Again, a follow-up question for those people that do live in cities and maybe they're not physically able to get out a lot. Like what I, from my own experience, I found quite remarkable is to, even if you have an indoor plant, right, like to with open eyes, like look at a leaf or just gaze at the plant and maybe touch it. And like, do you have anything to add to that or any other practical tips how people can, connect with their indoor nature?
Yes, well, I would have said exactly the same thing, Monica. I have a lot of plants in my own home and I connect with them on a daily basis. And I, you know, I really do consider that I share my living space with these beings.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful thing. If you have a plant, treat it with respect. It's a living being. Mm-hmm. It's a conscious living being. And just see whether you can tune in to that plant. And for instance, I have an aloe plant here, aloe vera. And, you know, aloe vera is very good for skin problems. And a lot of people keep an aloe vera plant for that reason. But I never, never use a leaf from that plant without asking first. I always ask permission. And I wait until I feel that I've been given permission. And the plants thrive. It's gone through a number of moves recently, you know, in recent years, and it's still thriving and still growing well. So have a lot of plants, as many as you can possibly get. Fill your apartment, if you live in an apartment, with plants, I would say. Treat them with respect. Understand that you are sharing the planet with them and sharing your home with them. And notice what comes from that. You will get that. You will get that connection. You will eventually find that connection to nature, even though they're just houseplants or plants in your home or on your balcony.
Right.
So yeah, definitely. You know, nature comes in all forms, and a houseplant is part of nature, just as we are, just as a forest is. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there are pets, right? Like they have a lot to teach us and to offer connection to nature.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, you know, tune into your pets. I used to have cats, and people used to say to me, oh, but, you know, you can't train cats. Cats won't do anything that you tell them to do. Wrong. You know, if you communicate in a particular way, you know, with a cat, they are absolutely on side with you. They will come when you call them. They'll do anything that you want. But I noticed that, you know, the people who say that are people who don't really see an animal as being part of nature or in any way close to them. They are other. But when you embrace the animal and you learn to communicate, maybe silently, with the animal, then you will find that connection grows,
For sure. Like I've had an example like that. A stray cat ended up on my balcony, and she was super, super shy at first. And kind of like what came back to me when I heard you talk right now is to actually consider this other being an equal. Right. So that's what I did with her. Right. I considered her an equal. I realized, OK, well, she needs me to be even like walk slower in her presence.
Yeah.
Because she got scared by fast steps. Right. So by doing that and really honoring and respecting this little being over time, like we just created the most incredible bond. Right. Because I was able to honor her for who she was and respect her. And then she opened up to me eventually. Which was the most beautiful
There you
gift.
Go.
Okay, so
yeah,
yes,
there you go.
It does pay off, really, to honor other beings, like be they past, plants, or human beings, in who they
yes,
are and
exactly.
how they show up.
Exactly. And, you know, you used the words honor and respect there. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, we have to get away from this notion that we are not part of the world. We are. And
mm-hmm.
other beings are our equals. And, yeah, honor and respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And connect with them. And work
yeah.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, I just got noticed that we have one question emailed in. Which,
oh, yeah.
If you're ready for a question, I'd just like
yeah.
to run it
by
you.
Go for it.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
perfect. So this question is from Lorraine in New York, and she's asking for some practical advice on how to best detox our diets and remove chemical toxicity from our bodies, which I'm just adding is obviously adding layers of disruption, right, and layers of distance to our natural voice. So how do we best
yeah.
detox our diets and remove chemical toxicity from our bodies? What's your
yeah,
advice
Yeah, that's a
there?
Very good Well, it's a very good question. Who did you say had asked this question?
Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very good question. Well, first of all, I would say start by doing what I mentioned before. Do not put any chemicals or toxicity into or onto your body, right? So stop layering them in.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I don't just mean eat organic food, clean food as possible. Move away. I don't just mean move away from the industrially produced food. I mean also look at what you're putting onto your skin. Look at what you're putting into your environment. So it starts with cleaning up what you consume on every level. So as natural as possible, cleaning products in the home. As natural as possible, any kind of products in the home. Make sure that whatever products you buy, whatever things you buy for your home, are not harmful in any way. And then make sure that the cleaning products you use are non-toxic. Make sure that the toiletries that you use are non-toxic. Make sure they're as natural and as organic as possible, so that you're not ingesting any toxicity through your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, food and drink. Make sure that whatever you're eating and drinking is as close to nature and
mm-hmm.
as organic as possible. Now then, once you started to do that, you'll start to notice a change. But, of course, a lot of us have already a build-up in our system.
Exactly, yeah.
So drink a lot of water is what I do. Drink a lot of clean water.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean in a city you won't have access to spring water necessarily. And I don't really like bottled water because it's also just been in plastic for a while. And, you know, you don't know how long. So what I do is I have a very, very good filter system on my tap water at home. I used to at one point when I lived near a natural spring just go to the spring and collect spring water, but I can't do that here. But I make sure that the water I drink is as clean as possible, in other words, unpolluted as possible. And then on
mm-hmm.
top of that, there are other things that you can take. I every day take chlorella and spirulina, the algae, which are very good at cleansing your system, detoxing your system. And I take a lot of other things. I mix everything up in a smoothie every day. And, you know, I take medicinal mushrooms and a lot of other things which will help me cleanse. I also, especially right now, to support my liver, take milk thistle. So because your liver is the organ that gets rid of the toxicity in your body. And so to support my liver,
that's what I'm doing right now, particularly right now while we have issues going on around us health-wise, so that my body can constantly detox and detox efficiently through my liver. So support your liver, support your organs, make sure that what you're putting into your body from this point forward isn't tainted. And then also drink a lot of water, because obviously water helps sluice out your system and helps you detox. Those are the main points.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's amazing. And when you were talking about spirulina for cleansing, I also thought, like, there are specific organ cleanses, right? Like liver cleanse and things like that. Do you recommend those?
I wouldn't recommend anything that I haven't already tried, and I have never done anything like that. But, you know, if your inner guidance, if you want to put it that way, is saying, do you know what? If it, you know, I'm going to just try this. This might be just what I need. And you look at the ingredients, and the ingredients are all natural, all organic, as far as possible, then go for it. Because your body knows what you need, right?
So again,
I don't know what your body
needs.
So
that's the loop. Let your inner voice tell you what is right for you.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And you know, I often go by energy. I'll go into a supermarket, and sometimes even organic food, I walk past and think, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. Because either it'll have been on a shelf for who knows how long and won't have any goodness left in it. Or, you know, it's just not particularly great. The energy of it isn't particularly high. So it is a question of just really allowing yourself to tune into everything and know whether it's right for you or not right for you, and get that feeling. So even with food, even some organic food, I won't eat. I don't eat certain things which I suspect might not have had the best farming methods to produce them. But, yeah, it's all a question of what's good for you and where you are energetically right now as well.
Right.
So, yeah. I hope that helps.
That was a very comprehensive answer. I trust that Lorraine got at least some snippets and some practical.
I hope she did. I hope you did,
Lorraine. Out of it. Yeah. Yeah, thanks again for the question, Lorraine. And so just maybe to slowly start wrapping things up, are there any other quick, maybe even just hints that you can give to people in regards to how to practically access their inner intelligence, for example, like left-hand writing or muscle testing or things like that? Anything that you would like to highlight?
You can do all of these things. All of these things are possible. What I would say is that start practicing not listening to other people without a critical sense, not listening to that critical voice without questioning. Instead, every day, it doesn't have to be more than 5 minutes. It can be less than 5 minutes. It can be a minute. Just sit in silence and practice not even thinking about anything. Let that, you know, that critical mind, that left brain, that, you know, that whole analytical mind, let that just do whatever it wants to do. Let it do its own thing. But don't pay too much attention to it unless you really do feel that that's the way you want to go. And learn, the more you do that, you'll learn how to access your true self, how to access your true guidance, the instructions that are in you that are waiting to come out. That's how to access them.
Right.
A regular date with silence.
And that's kind of like probably the core piece, right? Whether it's that we sit down in order to be silent, or we sit down to maybe do some writing with the other hand or muscle testing. What my sense is that there is always this willingness to be open to an answer from within. Yeah. Right? And that I think that intention to create that space and that intention of openness is probably mm-hmm. the most important ingredient, right, for us to even yeah. begin to hear our inner voices.
Yes, absolutely. And an understanding that all these voices that you hear, the critical voice, mm-hmm. the analytical mm-hmm. voice, that's not you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not you. That is something else. That's another layer. And to get underneath that layer, you just have to sit and go deep and allow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Allow whatever comes up, comes up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No judgment, no anything. But check into that feeling state. How do you feel about it? What's the feeling with it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that lovely expansion? That lovely feeling of relaxation, of clarity? Or is there that worry that you were talking about, that niggling feeling
mm-hmm.
that you can get?
Right.
And notice those things. And again, no judgment, just know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's
and then
an important
you can make
point.
Decisions.
Yes. Yeah. And that's like there's actually two important points here. One is the what you just said, to just observe. Don't put any judgment on the things that come up and try to negotiate with them, right? Or like think, oh, that doesn't make sense. Well, learn
yeah.
to trust and to just observe it. And the second thing then is, as you just mentioned as well, then act on it, right? Because it's one
yeah.
thing to tune into our intelligence, and the second thing, and very important one, to then actually act on it. And that will also, like a feedback loop, then develop some trust in our own voice over time, because when we act on our inner voice and we found out that this was actually a really good decision, that will bring us into a deeper trust into our own voice next time around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's like a muscle. We have to build it up.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah,
we're not used
exactly.
to it. We're not used to doing it. So,
mm-hmm.
no, give it time. Do it a little and often.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll find that really it will start to transform your life.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, JJ. You've given us so much insight, so many beautiful tips and nuggets, and shared your wisdom with us. So now I'd like to turn the attention around and turn the attention on you. So how can people, this is the time for the self-promotion. So what is it, how can people reach you? Is there something you would like to share with them, an event or particular web page, and how can they best reach you?
Well, people can contact me through jjsalchemy.com, excuse me, or you can get me on Facebook on my page, The Practical Alchemist,
mm-hmm.
and on Instagram at Practical Alchemist, or you can just email me jj@jjsalchemy.com. And what I'd like to offer is I do offer a free discovery call if anybody wants to do any coaching with
right.
me. But what I'd love to offer to all of your listeners is, if they feel drawn and they want to go deeper into this, then I would offer them a free session, a free discovery call and a free session, if they email me at jj@jjsalchemy.com and mention this podcast. So do get in touch if that's something that you feel drawn to, and we can go into things in a little bit more depth and see whether it's something that would benefit you.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for your generosity.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, do sign up for a newsletter, because I'll be running some food master classes later in the year with a plant-based chef, a friend of mine who is absolutely brilliant. He trained in Michelin-starred kitchens and then turned to plant-based food and raw food, and is
yeah.
a very, very lovely spiritual being. So we're teaming
mm-hmm.
up to bring some masterclasses on some fabulous, healthy, nutritious
mm-hmm.
superfood. Amazing. So those will be coming, and there'll be details on my website about those too.
Yeah, great. So just for our audience's sake, to make sure that they have your details correctly, so that is JJ and then S as in Stenhouse, right? S as in...
Yeah, JJ S as in Stenhouse, S for sugar, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then alchemy.com, and everything is in one word, JJSalchemy.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Well, that's been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insights and tips and wisdom with us and with our audience. It was great to have you. We're right on time. So thank you very much. Blessings to Scotland over the ocean.
Oh, thank you so much, Monica. It's been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a real honor and a pleasure. So thank you.
Of course. Well, thank you so much again. I hope everybody that you got some snippets and tidbits and wisdom from JJ, actually not just I hope, I trust. And I invite you to tune in again next month, August the 25th, which is another Clear Directions show. For now, it looks as though I will be by myself, but who knows? Maybe I will whip up another exciting guest for the show. Stay tuned, and I look forward to being in touch with you again then. And thanks for tuning in, whether you're with us live or you're listening to the recording. Thank you for your time and attention, and all the very best in tuning into your inner voice and let it guide you. Thank you very much, everybody, and blessings and all the best. Bye for now.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.